And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
You can't stop contract here, Nick Schmaltz. You can only hope to contain him. Hello and welcome to another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Week 3 waiver wire edition. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meaney. And I'm so happy to admit on today's podcast, Jake, that I streamed Nick Schmaltz starting on Friday. And he won me my week. How are you, bud?
I'm doing great, Nick. Keep him on your roster. I mean, this guy, he's locked into that top role. He's firing the puck, too, as well. So we'll get into that. We got the waiver wire edition on Monday, of course, as well. And lots going on in the National Hockey League. Excited to be with you.
That's exactly it. So that's coming up, the Week 3 waiver wire edition on the money, brought to you by Bet365. But undoubtedly, the big story this week is the Vegas Golden Knights in general. What a start for them. What a start for Jack Eichel here, Jake.
This offense is just incredible. I think we had a feeling that they had potential to do this, right? With all the names that are there. Okay, we talked about Pavel Dorofeyev a lot in the offseason. Mitch Marner comes over. What's he going to do for this offense? Well, there's a lot of goals to go around. We thought maybe there's too many mouths to feed. Is there guys that are going to take a hit in this offense? But it's just been incredible to watch. Every game, it feels like they're good for 5-6 goals.
Six guys averaging a point per game through six, meaning that's insane stuff.
It is insane. And it's not just Marner, right? When Marner went over there, we talked about it. But we also talked about Eichel. He's heading into the season a contract year, and then he signed, and he's probably playing loose because of that. You know, to have 15 points in six games is one thing, but 8 on the power play. He's got 5 multi-point games already. He's got 2 4-point games. Guys are lucky to have 1 4-point game in a season. He has 2 of them already. So it could be a fun game tonight against the Hurricanes that are 1-2 in goals. And, you know, we talked about it on this show, about him being a long shot to win the Art Ross and being the MVP. They were both 40-1. We had them over at NHL.com/fantasy. And Jake, we're only a couple weeks in, but man, you can't ask for a better start.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like he's a long shot anymore, right? Maybe before the season, now we're thinking, is he the front runner for some of these awards? And Nick, I mean, he could set himself up here. I know it's early. We're only a couple weeks in. We don't want to overreact too much, but he could set himself up for just an all-time hockey season. If we include the Olympics, we know he's going to play a huge factor, obviously, for Team USA, and we'll see what kind of success they have there. But what he's doing, Hart Trophy candidate, Meaney mentions the Art Ross as well. Obviously, Vegas looks like a team that could contend for the Stanley Cup this year. When it's all said and done, Jack Eichel could end up having one of the best seasons we've ever seen.
The unique thing for me through six games, 4-0-2, it hasn't all been about Mitch Marner with Eichel. Like, he has spread the wealth. He's played with different guys, produced with different guys, and that's the versatile part of this. And I mentioned so many different guns who can beat you. Hurdle's got a point per game. Barbashev's got 6 points. Dorofeyev's got 6 goals. Like, that is a juggernaut of an offense, as we expected. And we talked about this last week. It's been a very, very slow start for Shea Theodore on the back end. I will say, some tough news over the weekend. We'll see the extent of this, but Mark Stone goes down. And that's unfortunate, Jake, because under the radar, Mark Stone is off to a really, really good start. 13 points in 6 games. We'll see the extent of this. But two guys I would look at internally, Alexander Holtz and Riley Smith potentially.
Obviously, anytime you see Stone go down, right, you're just like, oh boy, here we go again, right? We know there's a history with Mark Stone, long-term injuries, things like that. I think Vegas in general, they're going to be fine, as great of a player as Stone is. We just talked about how deep they are offensively. So I wouldn't be concerned about them as a team with him out. But obviously, if you're a Stone owner, that is kind of tough. And Meaty, what are we doing? I know we touched on it briefly last week with Shea Theodore. Just, I guess it's a wait and see at this point. There could be a moment where he does end up back on that first power play. And if he does, obviously we're going to see the numbers spike. But I'm a Theodore owner in the league, and it's been a little frustrating seeing all this offense. You kind of feel like you're left out of the party if you're Shea Theodore.
Yeah, I have some shares as well. We all liked him, and the fact that he's not on that top power play. I mean, 1 point, and he came in his first game. And we're talking about the Golden Knights scoring all these goals, second in the NHL, over 4 per game. So maybe if Stone misses time, you see Theodore back up on that first power play unit. I like the Riley Smith shout there, Nick, is a guy who can move all up and down the lineup completely on either wing. But I would just preach. I've been talking about this. You got to be patient. You can't drop him. Today, he's one of the most dropped defensemen in fantasy, and I would just hold on to him given his upside, Nick. But yeah, if he's not putting up points because he doesn't hit and he doesn't throw a lot of blocks, he doesn't get a lot of blocks either. So, but he could maybe get on that top power play again. That would be good for him.
It seems to be a theme in my DMs too. Very, owners that are not patient right now. Somebody asked if they should drop Ilya Sorokin for Jack Greaves. I'm like, ooh, just you got to stand your ground a bit, folks. I understand some of these guys are not performing, namely a guy like Theodore. Just chill out a bit. But if Vegas wasn't a prime contender before the season started, they certainly are now. Like, Carter Hart comes into the mix. He can't play until December 1st. Granted, we don't know what he is at this juncture in his career. 2.94, 906 career numbers, spent six seasons with Philadelphia, but means he hasn't played since January 2024. But how do you see Vegas deploying their crease when Hart's good to go with Aiden Hill?
Yeah, I would say Aiden Hill is still the guy there, right? He's won a Stanley Cup. He's got a lot of experience. I believe they believe in him. He was top five in wins last year as well. I think if you're a Hill owner, maybe this makes you feel a little uneasy, but more so in a dynasty league than a redraft league. Like you said, we haven't seen Carter Hart play hockey in quite some time, but he does have a high ceiling. There's untapped potential there for him. So I think long-term, it's something to consider, right, Jake, is a guy who maybe could be their franchise goalie, but I can't imagine a scenario where he overtakes Aiden Hill.
I think it's worth looking at, but I'm with you. I do think that Aiden Hill is clearly the guy there, and unless he really, really struggles, maybe opens up the door. But, Nick, who else is even good in the Pacific Division right now? Like, watching the landscape, it's actually crazy to watch. Like, obviously, we know the Central stack, the Atlantic. We know their history. They're a very, very deep division. But outside of Vegas, I mean, obviously, we give Edmonton their time to figure it out. They tend to do this every single year, but who else are you even looking at in that Pacific Division? It does feel like there's an opportunity, especially with LA struggling early this season, where maybe somebody can step up and make the postseason. But it just feels like that Pacific Division is Vegas's for the taking at the moment.
How dare you besmirch the good name of the Seattle Kraken off to a really good start through five games. Well, but yeah. I could tell you who it's not, boys. The Calgary Flames. And we all talked about some potential negative regression for this team, and it's hitting them hard right now. Dustin Wolf, sophomore slump, whatever you want to call it, 4.30, 854. The top point producer is Nazem Kadri, 4 points in six games. Like, Jake, they're a black hole for fantasy hockey right now.
They are, and I got to say, I did believe in the Calgary Flames to an extent coming into this season. Maybe not as a playoff team, but as a team where we could still attack them in fantasy. And, okay, you got Coronado there. You got some of these young guys that you're trying to infuse into the lineup. They do get Jonathan Huberdeau back, so we'll see what that can do maybe for their offense. I know he's not been a guy that's lived up to that money, but still, you got to think that should improve their top six, right, Meany? Is there anything there in Calgary, or is this just the beginning or is this just a team that maybe overachieved quite a bit last year, and now we're kind of seeing that regression that I think a lot of people did call for?
Yeah, I think you both nailed it, right? Nick talked about it, and you talked about the regression and overachieving last year. I think they got great goaltending from a rookie in Dustin Wolf. He's still a really good goalie. If you have him, you know, you hang on to him, and you hope he doesn't kill your ratios, but, you know, he's going to see a lot of rubber this year. You mentioned Huberdeau. He returned in the Flames' last game. He scored a goal, so he's somebody I would consider. I love Coronado's outlook. He's a shooter. Kadri's a guy that you hold on to. But after that, I mean, this is a team that may make some moves. Maybe Rasmus Anderson's a guy that's traded, and that opens up a door for Zane Parekh to get a little bit more ice time, and certainly on that top power play. But I would imagine, Nick, that the Flames are going to be one of the worst teams in the NHL. Right now, they can't stay out of the box. I think they're second in the NHL in penalties. They're fifth in time shorthanded. So they're not helping themselves at all at the moment.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing for them is there's going to be a lot of noise around the trade deadline, whether it's Rasmus Anderson who's in the contract year, Nazem Kadri has been linked to be traded for like 3 years now, yeah. Blake Coleman's in a walk year, so I'm very intrigued by them. I've had multiple people reach out. Are they a dark horse for Gavin McKenna? But we're getting it. Just we talked about this last week, guys. You can lose a season really, really quickly, even in the month of October. But I expect Calgary to bounce back to an extent here. To how much, I'm not sure. Staying in that division too, Jake, the Vancouver Canucks extremely banged up right now. Brock Besser on a personal leave. Hedo gets hurt. Lekkerimäki gets hurt. A guy I like to pick up right now, actually, is Connor Garland, who has 6 points in six games and playing on the top line with DeBrusk and EP40.
I like that call a lot, just with how much he likes to shoot the puck as well, if he's getting that power play time. I mean, we're seeing a little bit of juice from EP40 as well, Meany. I know he was obviously the topic of conversation all year last year. Always a negative conversation. We go into this year and we think, okay, can we bounce back? JT Miller, that whole situation's behind him. I think early in the season, I just kind of saw more of the same from EP40, but it does feel like maybe something's clicking there, Meany, with EP40 and the Vancouver Canucks. Again, not a file that I'm really excited about or I'm running to, but I think something to keep an eye on. Maybe he's starting to find it there in Vancouver.
he's still only a couple years removed from a 100-point season, right? So we know that what the ceiling looks like. Sherwood's another guy, too. I see his ownership around 48%. I think a lot of people have him in leagues with hits. He's had four hits in each of his six games this season. But all of a sudden, he's on that top power play, and he's scoring at the moment. He has four goals. But, yeah, the highest ceiling on that team is Elias, and I do like the Garland shout as well because he's had some really nice moments, Nick. When given an opportunity and no Brock Besser in the lineup, he's going to get an opportunity to play some big minutes.
Love it. And he's on this week's list, NHL.com/fantasy. Before we get to that, just a couple of key injuries to talk about. Andrei Kopitar, week-to-week foot injury. Phil Deneau's a natural internal replacement there. Patrick Kane missed a game over the weekend for the Red Hot Red Wings, upper body injury. Michael Brandzik Nygaard's a guy who's playing right now in the top six. Love that name. They lead the league in hyphenated names, by the way, and that's excluding James Van Riemsdyk, who doesn't have the hyphen, but a very, very long last name. And Jonathan Marchessault, day-to-day lower body injury. Luke Evangelista is a guy I would look at. So certainly a lot to mull over here in week three of the NHL fantasy season. October 20 to 26, Jake, let's look at this schedule. 55 games, jam-packed week. We love this. Five games Monday, 10 on Tuesday, 3 Wednesday, 12 Thursday, 4 Friday, 13 Saturday, 8 on Sunday. The four-game teams, Buffalo, Calgary, Colorado, Dallas, Edmonton, LA, Minnesota, Montreal, Nashville, Jersey, San Jose, Seattle, Utah, Vancouver, Winnipeg, 15 different squads. And the two-game teams, disappointing, there's only one, and it's Chicago. And disappointing because they're playing really, really well, including Spencer Knight. We talk about a win-win trade. The Seth Jones trade has worked out for both sides right now. But any of those teams you're looking at specifically this week, Jake?
Nick, it smells like a Sabres week to me with four games. I don't know. Pete's going to love this when he jumps on and gets through the waiver wire. And look, and I'll let Pete mention it. There's a couple Sabres right now that we should keep our eye on. I think we should be picking up this week. So it is a Buffalo Sabres week. I know we've said that before. Usually ends in disaster, famous last words, but it's the Sabres week, Nick.
Yeah, it's always interesting. Our group chat, it just, the vibe of the group chat depends on how the Buffalo Sabres are doing. Vibes very, very high right now. Yeah. Pete, as we welcome you for the waiver wire look this week. Zach Benson and Josh Doan on your list this week.
These guys are studs. I'm not going to lie, right? They're covering categories, especially Josh Doan. I mean, he has caught lightning in a bottle, playing in a much bigger role than he's ever seen before in the early stages of his career. He's covering shots on goal. You know, 18 through five games, he's got more than a hit per game. He's got 5 points in five games. So, you know, I just like that he's bringing a little sandpaper to that Buffalo Sabres team that desperately needed it. Now consecutive victories. And really, when you look big picture, last year, even with everything that went wrong, they led the entire NHL. They were tied with the Capitals in 5-on-5 shooting percentage. There's no way that they were as bad as they looked through the first three games. You're starting to see the correction right here.
Pete, how about the guy we led the show with, Nick Schmaltz, out in Utah? I think when we were getting pumped about the Utah Mammoth this year, we're talking about Keller. We're talking about Dylan Gunther. We're talking about J.J. Paterka coming over. Not a lot of people talking about Nick Schmaltz, but his ownership is skyrocketing right now with what he's doing out there in Utah.
He was one of those guys near the end of the top 200 entering the season. You know, a couple of the guys, right, Meany, were like, maybe we could take out Schmaltz. He only covers assists. I was like, you got to leave him in there if he's playing with Keller. And he is a king of those huge games throughout the season, right? He had a 6-point game at one point earlier in his career. He always seems to put together those stretches like he's on right now. Of course, the 4-point game the other day and, you know, leading the Utah Mammoth, a team that we were really high on their offense, still are. He's leading them in assists, points, and shots on goal, and always covering all those different edge stats in the process. So just a player that always kind of lurks in the distance in fantasy leagues, but is always worth rostering throughout the course of the season.
And Utah's fun, right? Like, that top six has a lot of appealing assets there. He's linked to Clayton Keller. They clearly have chemistry over the past couple years. Barrett Hayton is back inside the lineup. He can win you a few faceoffs, and he's that net front presence on that power play as well. Pete, how about Dawson Mercer? I think we've been down this road before with Mercer. He's shown us some things over the past, but he's got points in four straight, and he looks pretty good on a line at the moment with Timo Meier and Nico Hischier. Any interest in Mercer? He's available in like 90% of leagues.
Well, you're starting to see it here. You mentioned on the previous show how Timo Meier seems to be having a little uptick this season. And I like the second line with Hischier and Meier and Mercer. Mercer's a guy that's, you know, sometimes up on the top line in the past, sometimes is buried on the third line. But if he can fall into that second line and stick there for the whole season, you're seeing some consistency right now. 4-game point streak with 5 points in the span. And just one of those Devils guys that will probably finish with 20 to 25 goals at the very least. And he's still only 23 years old, so he could have a big breakout as early as this season as well.
I thought maybe Leo Carlson would be asked to do too much defensively to have a huge impact in fantasy hockey, Pete, but the numbers are there right now. And that, look, that Ducks, we talk about fun teams. That Ducks team is fun. They have potential, I think, to get better and better as a young team. You have some interest, it seems like, in Leo Carlson, what he's doing out there in Anaheim.
Well, I mean, everybody's been talking about the Anaheim Ducks. We mentioned like three or four of their guys last week. I mean, we pretty much saved Leo Carlson for this week just because we couldn't mention everybody. But he is a guy that's taking on a big role under Joel Quenneville. You talk about how Quenneville is, you know, using these veterans appropriately, but I think he's really trying to elevate the workload of some of these younger players. And I think that Leo Carlson is at the top of that list, along with Cutter Gauthier, Mason McTavish, some big moments so far this season. It's just a team that you're going to want to watch on a nightly basis because of the young studs that they've accumulated over the years. And Carlson's probably the best. He's like a future Alexander Barkov, I would say, Leo Carlson.
I like that, and only fitting, I bet the over in that Chicago-Anaheim game. Expected goals left and right. It's a 2-1 game in OT. Nice feed by Bedard to Donato, and the Hawks win that game. But so be it. Always need a blue liner, Pete, in fantasy hockey. Brent Burns is like 78 years old, but still doing it for Colorado these days.
Did you see the picture of him standing next to that 7'1" Penn State Russian defenseman commit for, I don't even know how he came across that guy, but yeah, that was pretty funny. Check it out on social media. But Brent Burns revitalized right now, playing with great, you know, supporting cast on the second power play. I mean, look at some of these names on the second power play for the Avalanche that he's got assists in four straight games. You know why? PP2 for Colorado, Arturi Lehkonen, Val Nichushkin, Gabriel Landeskog, and Devon Taves. That's like a middle of the pack power play one. So, and I think that he has a more appropriate workload, you could say, compared to when he was in Carolina, kind of fell out of favor on the first power play. We know what he is at this stage of the game, but he has the Colorado Avalanche by his side all season long. He'll probably luck into 40, 45 points this year.
PD, it's 2 weeks in, and my goaltending is a disaster already in a couple of leagues, which is just, that's every single year, it feels like. The goaltending landscape in the NHL it's so tough. Guys are getting hurt. Guys are underperforming. Anybody that can help us out this week if I'm looking for a streamer or two in terms of goaltending?
So I do trust Alex Lyon more than Dan Vladar. Those are the two guys on the list. Obvious reasons with the Philadelphia Flyers not being, you know, they might have a hard time getting out of the bottom 10 of the NHL this year. The Sabres, if they get half-decent goaltending, we've known this for a while, they could be on the cusp of the postseason and ending that long drought. .929 save percentage for Alex Lyon through his first five games of the season, including a shutout against the Florida Panthers. I know they're banged up. That's his former team, right? I mean, we've seen this for years with this guy. He's kind of, I think he was top 10 in mid-range save percentage last year for the Detroit Red Wings. When he gets the crease, and I think he deserves the number one role for the Sabres, he is an above-average NHL goaltender, and that's what the Sabres have been dying for ever since Ryan Miller was on the team.
I told you, the mood and the vibe changes on this podcast. Just mentioned the word playoffs after two wins in a row here for the... Come on, Pete.
We're back.
I am plugging my nose if I have to go the extreme of streaming a Buffalo Sabres goalie in fantasy hockey. I just can't get to that level, Means.
I feel you.
I get it, too. I think you just have to live in the moment. I mean, these are some of the top 10 goalies at the moment right now. Like, Igor is the number one goalie in fantasy hockey. Scott Wedgwood, number two. Like, how long does he hold that net with Blackwood coming back soon? But Lyon is number three. Spencer Knight is four. Cam Talbot's five. We have Tristan Jarry in the top 10. We have Vladar in the top 10. So, yeah, there's a lot of goalies here that are just waiver wire pickups. They're available in 70% of your leagues. I think the big question that I have, and maybe we can go around the horn here, like, who is the biggest buy low candidate in net? Is it Andrei Vasilevskiy, who ranks over 440th so far among all players? Is it Gustafsson? Is it Aiden Hill? Is it Darcy Kemper? Is it Sorokin, who, you know, Nick, you had that question earlier. The guy's ranked like 600 right now. So there's a lot of big time goalies I think could get had in as a buy low candidate.
Yeah, so the first thing I'd bring to that conversation is we got to remember every year, a lot of the big-ticket goalies, there's always a couple that have hot starts. For the majority, they're chasing the season in October, and then they start to cook big time in the month of November. And to answer your question, it'd be Vasilevskiy for me. I think he's, you know, going through the motions a bit, didn't play in the preseason, like just getting set for the, like it was one of those years where I think it was expected here from Vasilevskiy. And I believe in these guys. Pete, I think it happens a lot where guys have really, really volatile and tough starts, but the majority of these guys will get back on track.
And I think you can say right now with a rare blip for the Florida Panthers that even Bobrovsky's a buy-low candidate. Maybe somebody yep. took him. They're saying, oh, this team is a shell of what it was in the past couple of years with no Barkov, no Matthew Tkachuk. You know, Tkachuk's going to come back at some point this season, and Bob will be just fine. He'll win a lot of his home games. He's one of the active leaders in career regular season wins and also postseason wins, so he's been through it all. Two-time Vezina winner. I'd buy low on Bobrovsky despite Florida's injuries right now.
It's Tampa and Vasilevskiy for me as well, Nick. I just feel like that team, I believe in that team. I believe in John Cooper and Tampa to figure it out. Slow start to the season. Kucherov seems half asleep, basically, in most of these games. So once he wakes up, obviously that's going to help the offense. And I just think Vasilevskiy is going to be just fine. Anytime a goalie misses camp, we do see it affect them, right? He was injured during preseason and that part of the calendar. So it's kind of going through his preseason motion right now. I think he's going to be fine. I think a perfect buy low candidate.
Yeah, as you guys know, my house account is the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you would think at 3-2-1, the sky is falling. You look everywhere around them, everybody's struggling. The Florida Panthers, Tampa, all these teams are below them in the standings because of the market. People are making a lot of noise. We're going to hit the break. Other side, it's On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. Don't go anywhere.
Face Off Inside the NHL returns, taking you deeper behind the scenes than ever before. See it all from the star-studded Four Nations Face Off Tournament.
Us against the world, boys.
To the adrenaline of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I'm scared of you guys.
With candid interviews and backstage access, experience the sacrifice, the rivalries, and the determination that define NHL greatness.
Just when I thought last year couldn't be topped, here we are.
A new season of Face Off Inside the NHL. Watch now only on Prime Video.
Tune into 100% Hockey, the podcast that connects with general managers, coaches, players, and more. 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Conversations for you. If you aren't listening, you're missing out.
Hi, everyone. Julie Stewart-Binks here, along with former NHLer Nate Thompson. Join us on Energy Line as we share our takes, stories, and surprise guests every week.
Patrick Kane, 3-time Stanley Cup champion.
Team USA head coach Mike Sullivan.
6-time Stanley Cup champion Mark Messier.
With over 800 NHL games, I know a couple guys.
Biz didn't have Twitter. No one knew who he was, so I called Witt, and I'm like, how is Biz? He was like, I'm telling you right now, you're going to hate him. Then he'll be your best friend.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Week 3 Waiver Wire Edition continues. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meany around the corner as we get set for On the Money here. It's an intriguing week all along, but certainly I think you look at a bunch of these teams, Jake, just to start this up. Edmonton is a team that I look at. I'm like, they got to start cooking. I mean, I took McDavid in the YouTube draft first overall. What's going on here, Jake?
My YouTube fantasy team's not off to a good start, but it's a long season. I finally just got my goaltender back in Blackwood as well, or starting to get him back. So, but look, what we do this dance every year. Like it's. I feel like we had the same conversation last year and the year before and the year before that. What's going on in Edmonton? Why are they starting slow? You know what's. McDavid promised us goals, Nick. He said he was going to score. He said he was going to shoot more. Where are the goals? I finally had first overall pick in one of my fantasy leagues. Never had a chance to take McDavid before. The boys, Pete, Meany, they tried to sell me on Nathan MacKinnon all offseason, and I was buying in. I'm thinking, yeah, Nate probably should go first. These guys are making some good points. He shoots the puck a lot. But no, I got to turn the card in on Connor and get a chance to have McDavid. So, Nick, I need some goals soon from Connor. I'm calling him out right now. Let's see that puck start to go in.
Next game coming up on Tuesday against the Ottawa Senators. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365, an official betting partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. I'm happy we brought up McDavid. That's where I want to start for my first bet this week. Adam Henrique, game 1,000. Give me the ATG in Ottawa. Edmonton visiting the Senators, and the Oilers just need that one in general, so I probably take the Oilers, but I like Henrique, game 1,000, Jake.
Meany, are you believing at all in what's happening in Seattle? I think I'm not yet. I think I need to see it a little bit more. But hey, they're picking up points in all these games. They're kind of just a scrappy team. Like, I look at them, there's just not a lot to get excited about fantasy-wise. I don't think a team that we back too often in the prop market. But underdogs on Monday in Philly, a Flyers team that, okay, they're still trying to figure it out. I think with what Seattle's doing, at least in this game on Monday, I've got a little bit of interest in backing them. But I don't know, are you believing at all in what's going on there?
Not fully. It's tough. Brendan Montour, you know, losing him for the foreseeable future is tough. He's such a horse in the blue line. But I was leaning at the under 5.5 there with, you know, Vezina candidate Vladar, I guess, between the pipes for Philly. And you have Decord's playing pretty good as well. But, you know, we have the cheat sheet over at NHL.com/fantasy listing all the teams that play four games, which Nick alluded to. It's like one or two players on each team that are owned in fewer than 50% of leagues. And then you could just list almost the entire Seattle squad, like Jared McCann, Shane Wright, Chandler Stephenson, Jaden Schwartz. Like, these guys are actually showing up on the score sheet lately. I'd say like an anytime goal maybe for Shane Wright or Jared McCann, and maybe an assist for Stephenson. But I like the under in that game, just Nick, given I don't really fully believe in either offense, and they're getting strong goaltending on both sides.
I was at the game on Saturday against the Leafs. I think to an extent Seattle's real. Shane Wright looks like a player, boys.
Yes.
And I know we've been waiting for this, but he dominated that game. And I know he's a local product from Burlington, so he's going to step up, his family in the crowd. But I was really, really impressed. Josh Mahura scored the winner. It still comes down to goaltending with the Kraken, but I do think they're headed in the right direction. Like, this is the start they needed under Lane Lambert. But looking at Monday's card, Pete's going to love this. I'm playing the Josh Doan shot prop. He's cleared in four straight over 2.5.
Love it.
Buffalo at Montreal. Winnipeg at Calgary. I'm looking at Winnipeg in regulation for that. I just don't believe in the Flames this season. And the game, like the early season game of the year, Carolina at Vegas. Vegas has this tendency to have unbelievable Octobers. I'm going to ride that. I know Carolina has yet to lose a game. I'm going to go with the Vegas money line in that one, Jake.
I do like Jackson Blake on the Carolina side of things as well, as a guy that I think you could attack in the prop market. You get some good value still for that shot prop. So I'm going to continue to ride that. But I am with you on Vegas here on home ice. Just a great game. Clearly game of the night. And I'm looking at Minnesota and the Rangers, meaning I'm excited about this game in the early part of the slate. The Wild are a team I was very high on coming into this year. They got caved in by Washington on Friday night, like just completely dominated. Yeah. So I want to see a bit of response from them tonight, but I think it's the under that I'm really looking to. I got a chance to see Igor Shesterkin live on Thursday when he came into Toronto, and he looks incredible right now. So if he's in form and he's starting this game, I think Minnesota as well, you know, not a team that's maybe going to light it up unless they get a bunch of power plays. I like the under there.
This is the big story, Means, on Monday. Are the New York Rangers going to score a goal on home ice? That's the question, right?
And I think we just have to ride this trend as like the under, right? Like maybe not. We had Mika Zibanejad over the weekend. At the time, he was third, I believe, in shot attempts. He's been firing the puck. He did score a goal against the Canadiens, picked up an assist as well. I think he's a little bit juiced for three shots, but I'd maybe include him into like some sort of same game parlay with Matt Boldy for a couple shots. I'll go back to Winnipeg. I like your in-60. I think you can take him on the puck line. And you know, Scheifele is tied for second in the NHL. He's got 6 goals in 5 games. He has 7 points, at least one in each game. And he's shooting the puck, 3+ shots in 4 straight games. He's +145 for 3 shots on goal. And again, the Flames can't stay out of the box. And, you know, I will just, you mentioned Doan, +170 for a guy to have 3 shots the way he's shooting. And then Pete mentioned Benson earlier. He's +110 for a point and +195 for an assist playing alongside Tage Thompson's pretty good number.
I like it. Anytime we run the Sabres on this podcast, we're going to do it. Tuesday slate, there's 10 games. I like the Leafs money line against Jersey. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Anthony Stolarz called out the entire team over the weekend. I expect a bounce back from the Maple Leafs. Sheldon Keefe's in town for that game. So, you know, they're going to rise up. And Vancouver at Pittsburgh, I like the over. 5 straight overs, Vancouver and Pittsburgh getting together.
Stolarz had a lot of thoughts on his Leafs teammates. He was not pulling any punches. And I like that. He's a guy that you know, he holds up his end of the bargain for the most part. And he's, you know, he wants them to get a little bit more physical. If he's going to get run every game, he's like, well, maybe go run the other goaltender a little bit. So we'll see if the Leafs respond to those kind of comments. I'm looking at St. Louis on Tuesday, Meany. I just think LA, and I've been a big believer in the Kings the last few years, but I don't exactly love what I'm seeing right now. The Blues are a team that, you know, know, kind of a bit of a slow start to the season. But I think I like what they're still doing in St. Louis on home ice. That's a spot I'm going to be looking at on Tuesday.
I think we just continue to pick on the Kings. And yeah, I can't believe, you know, seeing Stolarz get run and nobody doing anything. It bothers me watching it. We've seen it numerous times now. A game that I have circled for Tuesday, Columbus and Dallas. The Blue Jackets just continue to play that freestyle hockey. Like, they give up so much, but they also generate a whole lot of offense. There's value on Dallas with Thomas Harley and Rupe Hintz. Both of these guys are plus money for an assist, and they are just dishing out apples nonstop. Miko scoring, Wyatt Johnson scoring. I like the Stars on home ice, but I think we'll see some offense.
I love it. PD props. You got anything for us or what?
Yeah, I'm diving into the three-way money line for the first time this season. Ooh. I got the Golden Knights and the Hurricanes going to overtime at plus 300. I really like that. And then you guys mentioned Josh Doan. You got to mention it, right? You look at plus 130 for a point. I mean, the guy's been on fire the past two games, so, and starting to turn that team around. So I think that you can get into the point prop in addition to the shot prop, Nick.
I know we joked about the Sabres and the love for the
joking.
Sabres.
I'm
not
joking. I'm serious.
No, I'm in on
You're
Josh
in
Doan.
After two games?
I'm in on Josh Doan. I'm not in on the Sabres, but I'm in on Josh Doan and what he's doing. And I've been riding the props the last couple of games, so I'm going to ride PD on that one. I don't know about the Sabres in general, but I will ride on Josh Doan, absolutely.
I think the Canadians spank him tonight, like Buffalo back into reality. But like the usage rate for Doan and Benson with JJ Paterka not there, right? It makes sense to get involved with their point props, shot props, and even consider them in season long. Just again, they're given an opportunity to play.
All right, guys, we'll revisit this conversation coming up on Thursday, week 3 mailbag edition. Thank you to producer Bob Bender. For Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meany, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Talk Thursday.